Yeah. So in the primitive parts of Spain, oh, sorry, that was a bad thing to say, wasn't it? But in the most cultured parts of Spain, they have this kind of festival where loads of people come and make human pyramids. And it's a bit of a competition to see who can make the tallest. And a little child usually climbs to the top with a crash helmet on, I hasten to add. So yeah, that's what it is. Well done, Paul Siemens. 10 points for that answer.
Brilliant, Paul. Go to the top of the class. So this morning... No, we're not going to do that. Just because all the children have gone out, otherwise we'd do it. Anyway, we're not going to do that. And we're my title was Everyone Gets to Play. And it's something that's been going round in my head for quite a while. And it comes from the Vineyard Church, which some of you... Oh, look, it's gone. Oh, no, it's all right. Some of you might know of, and the Vineyard Church or the Vineyard Movement is what it's sometimes called. So it's a worldwide, sort of denomination now. But it was a move of God by a man who started it called John Wimber. I don't think he meant to start a movement, but it's what happened. And John Wimber was a rock and roller type of guy in the 1960s. And he was into, you know, the whole rock and roll lifestyle, drugs and all the rest of it. And he became a Christian through a friend inviting him to a church. And you can see, I think you can see old clips of John Wimber on YouTube, actually. And he talks absolutely hilariously about how... he went to church and what it was like, you know, and how he saw that some funny things that I remember him saying was that as soon as he stepped over, people started talking in a very loud voice. And he said that when they prayed, they started praying in a completely different way than what they would talk to you. And he'd never been to church before, so it was all brand new to him. He had friends who were Christians. He started to read the Bible, and then he went to this alien place called church, and where people acted differently when they were inside the building, is what he thought. So anyway, he gave his life to Jesus, and he radically changed. And he knew something had happened, and he had three small children at the time and a wife. His wife became a Christian as well. They started going to church. And then after a while, he was like, this is not what I'm reading in the Bible that Jesus is like and Jesus is saying. So he took a deacon aside one day and he said, okay, when do we get to do the stuff? So the deacon was like, the stuff? Which stuff is that? He went, you know, the stuff that's in the Bible, that Jesus does the healing, the casting out demons, the stuff. And the deacon went, oh, no, we don't do that anymore. That's not for now. That was for then. And so he's like, well, when does it stop? When were we told to stop? And, of course, there wasn't an answer for that. So John Wimber, although I don't think he... thought, I'm going to start a movement. He started meeting with people who thought, the stuff hasn't stopped. Let's live what Jesus told us to do. Because he said, you know what? No rational person would give up drugs to sit in a pew every Sunday. I've never taken drugs, so I don't know. But... he looked at the Bible with fresh eyes, didn't he? He believed what he read in the Bible. He didn't have experience or disappointment to challenge him in his thinking. And he coined the phrase, everybody gets to play, because he saw things like gifts, things that Jesus told people to do, go and heal the sick, etc. And he said, well, who made... the vicars, the priests, the deacons, who made them in charge? Who said that we couldn't do that all as ordinary Christian people? Surely it's for everybody. And so that's the way he went down. That although you've got to have someone at the front, although you've got to have people opening the doors, people in charge, that really it's for everybody. it's not just for the leaders. So, you know, where does that come from? Well, if we look back in the Bible, then we had the Levites in the time of Israel. In the Old Testament, God had put the Levites, the priests, in charge. And they were the only people who could come into the presence of God. It wasn't for everybody then. So historically, that's where it's come from. Only the Levites could go into the presence of God. And everybody else had to wait and listen to them. But now, of course, that's gone. Because of Jesus, because of the cross, we have access, it says, right into the presence of God. And you know what? We take that for granted, don't we? And in a way, we should. We should. He's our dad. We should be taking that for granted, that when we speak, he's listening. But of course, it wasn't always like that. So we have the Levites. Then we have our own culture, don't we, where we have society with gentry, which often, and not all of them, but a lot of them didn't want the ordinary populace even to learn to read, because that would give them power. Education empowers people. So it was quite a sort of suitable thing for the Bible to be in Latin. Only the priests, who are the learned people, could understand it. So when you came on a Sunday as an ordinary person, you sat in a pew, well, you wouldn't have a clue what was going on, really. Yeah, I suppose you'd get into some of the wording, but you wouldn't necessarily understand Latin. You wouldn't get it. So it was always kept from the ordinary people. And we know historically things like the printing press, some things that happened in the Reformation, Education Act of 1870, all the things that have made it possible for us to read the Bible for ourselves. We all get to play. We all get to play. So I love that phrase because you know, I come from a very working class background, council estate. I didn't know until I left school with no qualifications and had to go to night school. And my children will tell you, oh yeah, we went to night school, didn't we? And if you don't study for your exams, you can get a job and go to night school as well. And that's the way they lived. But I went and did sociology, and through doing sociology, I learned I was working class, and I didn't really know before then. I didn't know where I was. I thought I was just the same as everybody else, but apparently I wasn't. I didn't even have middle class aspirations, because my only idea was I wanted to learn to drive. That was my only idea in life. So I wasn't big on, you know, the next chapter. So that does me good to know that I am the same in God's eyes as everybody else. That when this mask of you can't read the Bible, no, you can't stand at the front, you know, you're not learned enough, that's good for me. And I think that's good really for a lot of us, because I don't know about you, this beginning of the year, this September thing, I was dead excited this morning, the fact that we're all going to get back together again, and you know, could see all those bronzed faces and hear about, and I want those cards up, partly because I'm nosier, and but we don't get to talk to everybody, we're getting bigger. And it's nice to know what our family have been doing during the summer and share in that. And it's lovely to be back together. But I still feel a little bit tense at the moment. And I'm sure it's that beginning of September feeling. Does anyone else have that? You know, has anyone else been sitting here thinking, did I get new socks for them? Have I got all the uniform? Oh, I wish I'd have done that before we went away. And it's all that feeling. There's so much to crank up, isn't it? So we might be experiencing all sorts of feelings today about that beginning of September. But the fact is that when every year when you go back to school, if you're a teacher, you know, you have that butterflies in the couple of days before and making sure everything's all right. And I remember saying to somebody once, you know what, someday I feel as though they're going to come and find out it's me here. And it's just me, and I'm the teacher, and I'm supposed to know what's going on, and it's just me. And she went, I have the same feeling, yeah. They're going to discover us. Let's keep quiet about it. But it's just us inside. And I guess what I feel, other people feel as well. I still want to read this chapter, and I'm sorry we've not got it up yet, but if you've got a Bible, I would like to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 to 16. And I can read them better on my computer, actually. That's nice. Okay, so verse 11. So Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I love this verse, these verses, this bit. And I think we, last December, we went to an ecumenical service at the Church of England, Holy Trinity in Tarleton. And the vicar, David Craven, he spoke on this. And when he read it, it just hit me that as we were beginning, Steve, Mark and I were beginning to lead things here, it really spoke to me. It continues to speak to me that we have such a privilege of being released to do that work. And to be honest with you, there's hardly a meeting when our whole leadership team, we don't pray there at the beginning of our meetings. Thank God for the privilege that we have of leading the church here. So we see that and we hold that very carefully. But when David read that, it really spoke to me that we have a job to do, we have a task, we have a privilege. But part of that is having the body in front of us and recognizing how that body works together. So in that, recognizing and looking for, actually hunting out people's gifts, to then say to them, I've seen that you can do that well, would you like to do that? Not so they can have a job. Please don't think that, you know, we've got to have lots of jobs done. Yes, we do. We have a building. But the most important thing about this building is you and me. It's that we're built up. So please don't ever think that it's, you know, we've got this. We've got craft and chat. So we need people to come and open up for craft and chat, to do craft and chat. Well, do you know what? If all as we're doing is activities, well, for me, they can close because we're not about activities. We're about the bigger picture. We are about doing activities in order to, for people to come, to meet us, to meet Jesus. That's what we're about. But we're not about putting on activities. So, you know what? If there's no one to make the tea, we won't have tea. But that would be a shame because really the bigger picture of a cup of tea after the meeting is seeing each other, listening to each other, new people coming in and having time to integrate, to get to know us face to face. And it's time to be together. So it's not about a cup of tea, is it? It's about the bigger picture. Now, we're very, very blessed to have such a building. And of course, you know, it doesn't run on its own. And I mean, Stuart, you practically live here at the moment painting stuff, but you seem quite happy about that. But you know, if you... Yeah, Avril might not be quite so happy, or she might. But you know, if you've got talents and gifts, get them used in church. If you've got DIY gifts, ask Stuart, you know, is there anything I can do? If you've got half a day off a week that you'd like to give, ask, you know, can I get involved? Please don't think I'm saying we don't want anyone involved. We do. We want everyone to come and play. So everyone gets to play being part of God's family. Everyone gets to play using the gifts we see in the Bible. Everyone gets to play here. Because, you know, I've been in churches where it's like, please don't go in the kitchen because Mrs. So-and-so is in charge of the kitchen. So, and she will tell you you're not washing up properly. Or, you know, please don't ever think you, as a musician, you can do that because she plays the piano and I'll tell you what, no one else goes near it. You know, we don't want that mentality. We want to get everyone involved. And one of our big things at the moment, well, it's been some of our big things for a long time, is passing stuff on to younger people. And Mark and I went to a conference at the beginning of the summer, and they were talking about this, that they did this little thing about a homesteader in America, and they said that, you know, all the old homesteaders, when they came, you know, and they'd build the fence around their land, then they'd build the cottage, then they'd plant, you know, and they'd harvest, and they'd do this year after year. And these old guys, you know, they got it, and they were holding on to it. And then they'd be sort of on their deathbed saying, all right, son, it's over to you now. But don't you mess it up, because I've planted and I've built and I've done that. And, you know, their son would be going, but Dad, I'm 80. I'm too old to mess anything up now. And you can hang on to things so long that the people who've been watching you, they haven't got the energy. And the people beyond them, well, they've not even seen you. You're too far removed. And they were talking about waves of God and things like Wimber, that, you know, we keep it, we keep it, we keep it. We don't pass it on. So we are passing it on. We are actively looking for people to join in with what's going on. But please, it's not waiting for it to drop in your lap. It's for you to pursue it as well. So if you have gifts or something that we don't even know about, come and tell us. Narnia is a great way of getting involved. It's absolutely great. Even if it's sorting out the art cupboard that was belonged to the school. And I did that with Loz. I wasn't really good at it, was I? No. Because I kept taking things out going, oh, we can't throw that away. And then every time I turned round, Loz had put it in the skip. Anyway, some of us are good at things. We're good at other things. But, you know, please make yourself known. Get involved. Because we do not want to overlook anyone. Everybody gets to play. If you are here, you belong. You're home. So get stuck in and feel at home. Let's be glad to be together. I've not mentioned much about what we've just read, but, you know, I will come back to that some other time because I think It is really important. It's not about just the people at the front. It's about us all getting to play. We were at a church one time, church we went to actually, and there were a group of four men. And they'd been listening to some teaching about, what was it called, about men being the leaders. Men were the head of the house. Men were the head. And I can't remember the teaching that was going around, but they were listening to a lot. And then they told their wives, we're the head. And, you know, you have to do what we say. And this was happening. And I wasn't keen, I have to say. So, but you know, being the sort of quietish person I am, I didn't say much at the time. And we had little children, so I was occupied and out of the way. Anyway, they arranged for a conference. So these four men arranged a conference of this man who was teaching this. And he was coming and he was going to speak for a Saturday. And so they used our building and it was all set up. And it was only men invited. So they were all coming this Saturday. And these four men, you know, they were going to be, you know, specially anointed by this man who was going to come, and then they were going to tell us all what to do. So the Saturday came, and I wanted to go to just have a little look, but I didn't. And they had this day, and this special man came with his entourage, because I suppose he was special. And he spoke for the day, but apparently, what I learned later was, as the man came in, he said, do I have a room? Do I have somewhere I can pray? Oh, yeah, you can use the sort of little vestry area. And he said, well, you know, you usually have water. Yeah, oh, that's fine, we can get you some water. And I usually have a dish of fresh apples. So they went, we haven't got any apples. So he said to these four men, can you go and get me some then? Well, that little bit about, they ended up, one of them had to go down to the market, which wasn't far from where we were, and had to get a dish of apples for them and bring it back, because this man always had apples. Now, what that did, it was, it sort of pulled the rug a little bit to make, like, well, you're not that special. You know, you're the same as everyone else, in that we're all special. We all get to play. So even if, you know, the man of God tells you that he's the man of God and is special, he's no more special than you or I, because we all get to play. Let's believe what we read and go with that. Last week, just to round off, because we're going to have communion, Mark asked, where are you? He asked us, didn't he, to reflect on where we were, to consider where we were. But this week's question is, where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? Yes, we need to reflect. Where are we? Well, maybe, you know, things are not as good as they could be. Maybe we see things. We see gifts that people are using. Well, you know, how do they get these words of knowledge of a morning? Well, they're practicing. They're practicing. And can you practice? Yes, we all get to play. So where do we want to be? You know, do we want something new? Or do we want same old, same old? It's a new time. You know, when Jesus sent out the 72, he didn't wait until they were experts or professionals. He sent out tax collectors and fishermen to heal the sick and cast out demons. I mean, you know, not people you know, I'm having a bit of a heart attack. Who shall I call? Oh, there's a fisherman down the road. You know, that's ludicrous, isn't it? But Jesus didn't wait for professionals. He doesn't wait until we've got it all. He uses us now. So whether your journey with Jesus is, I've been a Christian a month, or I've been a Christian 50 years, he's going to use you. And we just need to position ourselves to do that. So we're going to, the children are joining us. So as they come back, if the band, you could come back, please.